everybody. Very happy to see you on Christmas Eve. The Orville Theater Group is very happy to present to you tonight, Let It Be Art, written and performed by Ronald Rand, directed by Gregory Abels, about the life and times of Harold Pluhrmann, one of the great American actors, directors, theater critics of the last century. I would ask you, please, no flash photography, because you disturb the actor in his concentration. And thank you very much for coming. We hope you enjoy the show.
Students here with you. Well, you know, learning the midnight oil is not expected of you. At least not until the second week. You're not neglecting other classes, are you? Because I know you're my assistant now, but you're an actress, a director. Thinking of being a director. Juggling nine balls in the air is going to become a way of life, but you're also entitled to some rest. Oh, I can't say I'm not flattered being one of the balls in the air. Oh, good. You typed out the essay. I know just what it needs. I wrote it down on the way home. No, that's not it. We still do not know what theater is. How it comes into being, what it is meant to accomplish, and consequently how it is to be generated. That ought to keep me guessing. If this be magic, let it be art. By the faces. Oh, that's a line from a matinee I just went to, The Winter's Tale. Imagine in the wilds of Brooklyn they're establishing a beachhead of culture. Lord knows we need a good repertory company of size and intent. The world's a lot different place than we did in the 30s at the group theater. Oh, just a couple of messages. Thanks for taking them. What's this? Another invitation to another revival by Clifford Odets. If I had a dollar for everyone, I'd be a rich man. What's this? How'd this get in here? You wouldn't have had something to do with this. The one in class who said I couldn't possibly have ever been shy. Well, I see you found me out. It was taken when I was studying in Paris at the Sorbonne. Oh. I got something you get an even bigger kick out of. I know it's here someplace, which is a surprise, since I practically never save anything. How do you like that? Josephine Baker gave it to me. Well, she didn't exactly give it to me. It's more like she threw it in my direction and landed on my head. What a number she did. And at the end, she had nothing left on but this. Quite a finale, believe me. Now you know what I went to Paris for. That's life for you. You never know what's going to happen. You never know what to expect. But we lose sight of it every day. We're all in such a rush. Busy, busy, busy all the time. Like we have no time. Do this, do that. Sign checks, pay taxes. become assistants. Ah, we lose sight the world's a wonderful adventure. Yeah, difficult, yes, but what an adventure. Tragic, comic, farcical experience. God forbid we take the time to enjoy our lives fully. We don't even take the time to enjoy our meals fully. Instead of making a feast of it, gobble, 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 instead of making a festival of it. But I want to be more alive than I am. I know, people say I'm a rather lively person, don't they? But I want to understand more. I want to know more. I want to feel more in my head, in my heart, in my stomach, in every part of me. Because it's so magnificent, so adventurous, this thing called life. And where do we see it crystallized most sharply? Through the focus of the theater as in no other art. I have nothing against movies. To me, life's a losing game. So I say might as well enjoy it. After all, it's a fact. We're not going to live forever. Sometimes it even occurs to me. So if it's a losing game, what an adventure! What fun this flop is! Clermont, they say, you're such a great idealist. Yeah, which is another word for schmuck. But I tell you, I'm not an idealist. To me, it's all as real as bread and wine. I regard all life as a struggle, as a drama, as a work of art, and this is the role I decided to play in it. Of course, there's lots of other things I could have been. I could have been a shoemaker. I would have been a very good shoemaker. But I could never find anything as incorrigible, as indestructible as the theater. Because even when it was under the worst circumstances, back in the 1600s, under Cromwell, which I happen to remember very well, every theater shut down, theater was present. Now, I think everybody should go to the theater at least once a month. I don't care how much money you got in the bank. If you're not cultured, you don't belong with civilization. You should be put up on a statue. Oh, here I am spouting off again. I'd better get to work on this essay, so you can go home. Oh, I know it's foolish to be optimistic all the time, although you'd have to be insane to be a pessimist. Yes, Amy, going to do something really requires hard work. I remember Aristotle saying to me, when we were sitting together on the Acropolis, he said, education's not supposed to be easy, it's supposed to be difficult, so keep that in mind. But no matter how you slice it, in the theater, we're all innocents. You think I had any idea one day I have a theater named after me? Of course! I went into the theater with a noble purpose, to find girls. Oh, see? Oh, now you're smiling, nice smile. But it's true, I didn't know what I wanted to be when I was your age. I didn't know where I wanted to be to direct. I didn't really want to be anything. Now that's not true. I wanted to have a theater. What for? Ah, because I believe in things. I have a feeling about my fellow citizens. I have a feeling about America that very few Americans understand where they come from and where they're going, where they have their false ideals and where they have their noblest idealism. And because of that, I don't think of the theater as entertainment. Although I'm constantly entertained in life and only occasionally bored in the theater, I don't go to the theater to be entertained. Everything in life entertains me. What I'm saying to you entertains me. Waking up and greeting the sun in the morning entertains me. I'm having fun. But never forget, people in the theater are artists. And as artists, they have to dream. And when they dream of money. I remember, one day, I turned to my father. I say, Father, I'd like to study the university, the Sorbonne in Paris, center of European culture. Perfect place for me to learn about the world. In my wildest dreams, I didn't think he'd say yes. What was I thinking? Paris, how can I describe it? Paris had these broad avenues, trim gardens full of sculpture. It's bubbling, festering with strange juices. The streets are a show, dramas everywhere, the people, characters in a parade. Grotesque, delirious, delicious. And everybody harbors a special secret that sprouts flowers of evil or a miraculous healing. Minds are at work, rich with the promise of discovery. Who cares if the Europe, the past is rotten? The decay irradiates light. And everybody's anyone who's crossed the Atlantic, and they all hang out at a bookstore called Shakespeare and Company. A woman by the name of Sylvia Beach runs it. Sort of like a lending library. I spend a lot of time there. You know who comes in quite often? Ernest Hemingway. That's right. He was tall, husky, mustache, wore a fisherman's cap, sort of at an angle. Acted like he owned the joint. I'd watch James Joyce linger over books. The French called him the sad Jesus, because every time you saw him, a silence surrounded him. Even Ezra Pound is there with this thick shock of red hair. There's all these famous writers. You think I got the nerve to speak to him? Like I told you, when I first arrived, I roamed the streets in a different... If this be magic, let it be art. If this be art, let it be magic. After every performance, is if we could bring the house lights up, please, so I can see all these beautiful people. I always love the opportunity to chat a little bit with you, and I also do want to say, Unga Veragaika Ramba Nandri, Unga Anya Varkum Orakuli Oravilkum. Ramadan Dreg. Unga Varkiil Amadiyam Magachiyam Pungatan. It's a rare and beautiful privilege to be here. I want to thank Jill and Oroville and of course the great spirits that have been here, Aurobindo and the mother, and it's such a beautiful, special occasion to allow Harold Klerman to come and share his ideas, and I'm very, very grateful. Because he was America's greatest humanist, and someone who constantly devoted his life to raising people's consciousness. And being here, and being with Swar, and with Jill, and being with everyone in this environment is just an extraordinary experience, and I wish the entire world could be here to appreciate it. It probably would make them human beings. but I do want to thank you all for this great, great privilege. And if any of you have any questions about the show or about Klerman or anything, please, I'd love to answer them, of course. I was privileged to study with Harold and with Stella Adler for almost 6 years. And of course, I just got out of high school, so it made an incredible impression upon me. And so I've devoted my life to sharing the life-affirming ideas that they devoted their life to, which I also find, you know, reading Aurobindo and reading the Mother's Words, and it's just you know, continues, you know, the whole cycle of how we grow as human beings. So, do any of you have any questions?
So
yes.
The title of the book that you were using with the photograph?
Yes. No, this one is called The Fervent Years. This was Harold's book that he wrote about the group theater. It's called The Group Theater in the 30s. And it took him a while to write this. He had written On Directing and of course, his autobiography and many other books. This particular book really, in essence, captured the spirit of the group theater. And even though you know, people may differ with some of the things that Harold wrote, he really captured the essence and the whole spirit that animated the group theater and the period. So I highly recommend it, because if you read it, it'll be good for you, like reading eating broccoli. One of the great things about it is that in it, when it was reintroduced for a new printing, Stella Adler wrote a new introduction. This was back in 82. And I had started working on a full-length play about the group theater. And then I read this, and she said, "As for Harold's legacy to the theater, I think it may be lost because he didn't create an heir." And so he was one of our great directors and great teachers and our greatest a critic of the theater in America, but he did create a sense of people who took so much from him. But
I read that, and thinking that his legacy would be lost, I had stayed in Stella, so in touch with Stella, so I wrote her. And I said, what if I thought of maybe doing a show about Harold? And she wrote back to me, and she said, oh, no, 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 darling. Nobody can play Harold. And then she wrote, P.S., but if you have to, go ahead. And that was Stella. And so it took me a while. I worked on my full-length group theater play for many years, and then playing Harold in that, when I came back and finally decided to do solo play and wrote it in about 98, 99, and then started performing it in 2000, it sort of wrote itself. I just listened to Harold, in a sense, what he wanted to say. And so I was very blessed. But I do recommend this book because it if you love the theater, you won't be able to put it down. Any other questions? Yeah, yeah. Sure. Yes?
For myself and a lot of people here, maybe you could just briefly touch on the McCarthy era and how it affected the artists and the group.
Well, it was certainly one of the most crushing periods for the artist in the history of mankind. It destroyed lives. It turned brother against brother, actor against actor. Stella and many members of the group theater were blacklisted, so they couldn't work for years. Morris Karnofsky and Phoebe Brand, who were two of our finest actors, and eventually, after it all died down, what happened was Morris and Phoebe went out to California and started the Actors Laboratory Theater and started training a whole new generation of actors. But for that particular moment in history when McCarthy came along and started accusing people of being members of the Communist Party, and then people became blacklisted in all walks of life, unfortunately, in the group theater, it impacted in a huge way because people started naming names, and among them was Gadge, Kazan, and Clifford Odets, and others. And there were those who refused, of course, and there were those who had nothing whatsoever to do with the Communist Party. I remember Anna Strasberg telling me that a story about McCarthy later on seeing Strasberg at a table in one of the delis, and as he walked past the table, he pointed his finger and he said, "You, I couldn't get." Because he was after everybody, but finally, a dog has his day, and finally he had his comeuppance. But it was a very, very mean and a very cruel period, especially for the artists and especially for those in the group theater. It took a while for it to finally die down after that horrible period. A very dear friend who recently died, he was about 97, David Pressman, a very fine director. He directed for One Life to Live for 25 years. And when I did a reading of the group theater at the Players Club in New York City, he played Stanislavski. And he had been blacklisted, and he couldn't work as a director, and he was one of the most successful directors in television. So it had an enormous effect on his life and his family. But after finally, the years passed, peace was made in a way, but still when I was talking to Phoebe Brand at the end of her life, and when I was saying, talking to her about the members of the group, and I mentioned Kazan, she said, "We're not talking about him." And that was that. And so that's the way it was, you see, because it affected them very, very deeply. Any other questions? Yes?
I wonder why Bert Brecht wasn't mentioned. He must have been in the States, and he was he studied Stanislavski, and he had new ideas about theater.
Well, Brecht really, he was not an adherent of Stanislavski's technique. He believed in his own technique, but he did come to America. I couldn't put everybody in the play. There were a lot of things I couldn't put in, but Brecht actually did meet with the group theater, and he was called in front of the House on American Activity Committee, And he trained, in a sense, I wouldn't say trained, but he would come to rehearsals and watch them act and give some suggestions. And, you know, there was one moment where Brecht was talking about, you know, theater in Germany. And Clerman mentioned Clifford Odets. And he said, oh, we had theater like that long before. And he said, yeah, that may be the case, Harold said. But now you have Hitler and we have Roosevelt, you know, because it was, politics was on everybody's tongue. But yeah, I mean, I would love to have talked about all the extraordinary people that, you know, meandered and affected the group, as did Michael Chekhov, who came and worked with the actors of the group theater too. But, you know, there's just so many stories Harold can tell. And he knew a lot of stories. Any other questions? Well, I just want to thank you so, so much for this great opportunity. I wish you much harmony, much, much peace and joy, and my love to you. So thank you so much for coming.